You are listening to the podcast from Mosaic Church. Stay tuned after it for more info about how to get and stay connected with our church family. Now, let's dive into this week's message.
Good morning, Mosaic Church. In the building and on the line, my name is Sheila Chopin. I'm one of the deacon servants here. Thank you for being here today. So in Matthew chapter 3, we're going to take a look at the focus of John the Baptist, many who found very interesting. John was very verbose. And we'll also take a look at Jesus Christ, our Savior, baptism. Why did Jesus become baptized? You saw those who were baptized today because they repented of their sins. Did Jesus have any sins to repent of? Just an early warning, repenting for yours and repenting for mine. So we're also going to look at, well, what these two men set for us, forerunners, a one who's gone ahead, preparing the way. So we see that they herald the way, the arrival of. They literally prepared the way for. So that's what God wants us to do. See, prepare means to make ready, to make the necessary preparations, to get ready for a thing. In April the 2nd of this year, 2024, there was an earthquake in Hualien, Taiwan. It was on the scale of 7.4. That earthquake, 17 people died, 1,100 were injured, 870 buildings damaged, and 24 buildings collapsed. Hualien, Taiwan, that's that country. It's actually, we found that in that country itself, Taiwan, is one of the top countries that actually has developed what they call the earthquake early warning system. The earthquake warning system, it is a system that identifies the ground motion exceeding a certain threshold in the early stage of an earthquake and alerts people before the arrival of a ground-shaking event. And you'll see these two pictures here. These two pictures are two of the buildings that began to sway. It didn't fully collapse, but partially collapsed. The Wall Street Journal says that the magnitude here was 7.4. It was on the island's strongest. It was one of the strongest earthquakes. But you know what happened? They prepared. Preparation took place this time. So John the Baptist was God's warning system for that day. John was to warn the one of who was to come. John heralded the arrival of the Messiah. John said that the Messiah is on its way. Do you think the earthquake that was coming to Taiwan, was the signals loud or did they beep really slowly? I think they were very loud. If there was a train coming against your kid, would you say, could you please get out the way? Would you be so quiet? No, son, the train is coming. Move. Move. That's what John was about. John knew as we prepare for the soon coming king, the one who was and the one who is and the one who is to come, there are two questions I have for you today. Are your signals enough to prepare the way for your family? Are your signals loud enough to prepare the way for your friends? Are those who are aware of the signals, are they warning others? Are they warning others? Do we know what's coming? There's one coming that came when John came. It was the Messiah. It was the Christ. There's going to be one that's coming. He's the one who was. He's the one who is. And he's the one who is to come. The Messiah. So I'm asking us today, church, we need to prepare the way. What if you don't prepare for an exam? What if you don't prepare for your retirement? What if you don't prepare for the arrival of a newborn? What if you don't prepare for an event that's critical? I submit to you, you will not get the results that you expect. See, preparation is necessary. So let's see what John said. The scripture says, John the Baptist came preaching. That word preaching means to proclaim openly. He came preaching in the wilderness. He said, repent. He said, because the kingdom of heaven has come. He said, for he is the one who's spoken through the prophet Isaiah, who said, a voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Then people from all Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the vicinity of the Jordan were going out to John, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Don't we just love that? Confessing our sins. In case we don't know what sin means to miss the mark. Look in the Word of God. See what mark we missed. Sin means to violate God's command. So confessing their sin. John said, I baptize you with water for repentance. He said, but he is coming after me. He's mightier than I. He said, I'm not even worthy to remove his sandals, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with pneuma and fire. See, that's why, you know, I love the scriptures because I take a look at, why are you saying it like that? Why did you say you need to baptize? You've already baptized me with water for repentance, but now he's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Let's take a look what that looks like. So in Matthew chapter 3, these forerunners, they're going to assess three things today. We're going to assess forerunners in the respect of those who proclaim the way, model the way, aid the way, and point the way. See, John the Baptist was the one that was the Messiah's forerunner. He proclaimed the way. He said, the Messiah is coming. He's on his way. See, John was the son of elderly parents who had longed for a child. And the angel Gabriel came to the father and says, your old wife, she's going to become pregnant. He didn't believe it, so he shut his mouth up. So he said, but he's going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. And also he said, he's going to be blessed and he's going to be mighty in the sight of God. You know, but not all who came to John were baptized. Some were onlookers, religious leaders, bureaucratic. You know, some were just, there was the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They kept looking at John because they heard about this man named John that heard how verbose he was. So they just came to look and they said, we have Father. We have the Father Abraham, our God. Okay, let's see what that's like. So, you know, John's message, in my opinion, it was unambiguous. It was explicit and it was bold. It was unambiguous. It was explicit and it was bold. There was no trepidatiousness about what he said. He said, repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's on his way. So I asked myself, well, Sheila, was John's message that bad? No, let's look at it. Let's summarize it. John proclaimed the way of the coming Messiah. John proclaimed me to announce, to make known. John said he called people to turn away from their sins, from missing the mark, violating God's word. He said, repent. He said, repent. And I was quite interested to see, are we still using that word in today's biblical contents? Well, I looked up 33 versions from 1611 to 2022, and they still use repent. So hopefully, as when I turn 90 and still preaching to you, that they'll still use repent. So John said, he said, repent. He baptized those with a changed mind. That's awesome, because when they got baptized, their minds were changed about how they were going to live and how they're going to walk. And he said, with a repentant heart. John, but you know, there were those onlookers, those Pharisees and Sadducees who were very proud in themselves. You know, John told them in Matthew 3:8, he said, produce fruits, righteous fruit, consistent with repentance. Now, there was someone one time that was hollering at me, and I just said, and let them holler at me. Then I said, sweetie, you look like a plum, but you say you're an apple. They both are red. They have a sense of circumference. But when you taste them and you smell them, they taste different and they smell different. So what are your fruits today? Or our fruits, do our fruits look like what we say? Do our fruits taste like what we say? You see, John the Baptist told those onlookers, he says, produce fruits consistent with righteousness. Not religion, but righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. So sometimes I want to amplify my understanding. So the contemporary version says, do something to show you've really given up your sin. The God's News version said, do things that prove you have turned to God and change how you think and act. You can't get that right, right? You can get that right, right? You may not understand produce fruits consistent with righteousness, but we can get right. Do something to show you've really given up your sins. I love that. So I conclude John had an urgency in his message. He knew that Jesus was imminent. He had an urgency. He knew the impact if they didn't come and repent of their sin. He knew the impact. Do we know the impact? If our loved ones don't give their life to Christ, do we know the impact? If we don't give our lives to Christ, do we know the impact? We need to know the impact. And that's why John was so full of, that's why John's message may have been transmitted seeming hard or arduous, difficult to digest. Are there times when a message to you, see, I'm the transmitter, you're the receiver. That's current flow. So I'm transmitting and you're the receiver. But, you know, if you want to hear music loud, do you want the current flow to be very low? I don't think so. If you want to hear it loud to understand what the words are saying, you want the transmission of the current flow to go at a wave signal that you can hear it. And that's what John was doing. He wanted to make sure that everyone who was coming to that, to the Jordan River, can hear what he was saying, to know what he was saying, so they can make a decision. Are you going to prepare for what I'm saying? See, Heilong, they knew in Heilong, Taiwan, they had that system in place because they didn't want the people to die. I thank God. I'm sorry for the 17 that died, but I'm so thankful it wasn't the number that was previously seen in the previous year. So it was a warning. It was a warning. It was a warning. We need to prepare for the warnings. So because John knew Jesus was on his way. So here comes Jesus. Then the scripture says, then Jesus arrived from Galilee at the Jordan, coming to John. He came to his cousin John to be baptized. But John tried to prevent him, saying, I have the need to be baptized by you. That's humility. He said, and yet you come into me? But Jesus answering said to John, allow it at this time, for in this way it is fitting for us to fulfill our righteousness. Then he allowed him. And then Jesus was baptized. After Jesus was baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove, settling on him, and behold, a voice from heaven was his Father. He said, this is my beloved Son, or the Son whom I love. I am well pleased. What an affirmation. Why? Because why did his Father send him? He sent him to die for you and I. So Jesus, did he become baptized because he had sinned? No, you'll find out later. See, Jesus Christ, he is our forerunner. He's our forerunner. He's the one that's gone into the heavens for us. He paved the way for us. He's our forerunner. Not only did Jesus modeled the way. Jesus demonstrated the characteristics of a model in four key ways I see. He modeled being a forerunner through love. He actually came to earth because he loved us. His Father so loved us, he sent his Son. Jesus took a hold of that love. He took that hold of that love to love us. Jesus was unwilling to abandon us. He prized us above all else. He's agapeo with us. He was unwilling to abandon us. He was unwilling to leave us on our own. Jesus Christ, he regarded the welfare of us, the scripture says, in defining agapeo. See, that's why he said in scripture, love ye one another as I've loved you. How do we love one another? Jesus welcomed with desire. He longed for you. And that's why he ran his race. That's why he paved the way. That's why he was a major forerunner. And then humility. Jesus literally subjected himself to his cousin John. He says he subjected himself to be baptized by his cousin. And Jesus, he identified also with obedience. He obeyed his Father. He said, we must fulfill our righteousness. We must do things according to your plan, Father. So Jesus obeyed his Father. And then repentance. Did our Savior sin? No. Matter of fact, the scripture says, for he knew no sin. God made him sin who knew no sin, that you and I would be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, it's your sin that he was being baptized for. See, he was identifying with man. Matter of fact, Isaiah said that he would be counted with the transgressors. Jesus was baptized because he was modeling what is the way in repenting of our sins through the washing, through the cleansing of our sins. Jesus was just modeling. He had not sinned. He was identifying with humanity. Jesus was holy. He was set apart. So this is why when Jesus came up out of the water, can you imagine if your child is doing something so great and you look at your child and you know that it's sacrificial? He said, this is my beloved Son. My beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. And he was doing it for you. He was doing it for me. It was my sins. It was your sins that he was dying on the cross for. It was my sins. It was your sins that he was being beaten for. So not only did Jesus model the way, point 11, Jesus not only modeled the way as our forerunner, but he modeled the way for future forerunners. And I got news for you today, church. You're the future forerunners. I'm the future forerunners. So this is why John said he modeled that way, because he said the one who is coming after me, he said he is mightier than I, and he will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. That word holy means set apart. Spirit means pneuma. So he said he's going to baptize you in pneuma. And that means that pneuma is the spiritual nature of Christ. And it has an intimacy that's connected, actually that's blended, that's a function of God, united with God. But see, pneuma is the spirit of God that rests on the inside of you to do the work. See, pneuma's function is to aid, it's to assist. Pneuma's function is to counsel. Pneuma's function is the spirit of truth. So when you need truth, pneuma, the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you, whom Jesus came to baptize you with, is going to aid you in your journey as being a forerunner. That's why Jesus said it's the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. You can look up all in Greek. All means all. I trust the Holy Spirit for everything. You know, so I got great news for you, church. Great news. See, John the Baptist is gone. The Apostle Paul is gone. Peter's gone. Peter's gone. Titus is gone. Timothy's gone. John's gone. Luke's gone. Matthew's, he's gone. They've been the forerunners in our time. The Apostle Paul is gone. They've left some messages for us. So the forerunners that we have today is called you and me. We're the forerunners for today. We're the one who are to pave the way. We're the one who are to prepare the way for others to come and see and know the soon coming King, the one who was, the one who is, and the one who is to come. How will they know him? How will they know him? So be a forerunner today. I went home to my parents in 2024, March this year, and I walked the street talking to people about Jesus, and I met a new family that had come in. And this, I met a little boy, 19 years old. His mama had died. His mother had died at one. His dad got shot and died when he was 16, and he had gotten shot. He still had the bullet in his head. And I walked over to him, and I said, Jesus loves you so much. And I said, God has a plan for you. Because he was demure, right? His mama's gone. His dad's gone. Has a bullet in his head. And I said, God has a plan for you. An older man stepped in. He said, how can you tell us about Jesus? He said, you've not been through anything. I said, sir, I've been poor. I've walked through the woods, you know, to go to school. I've worked in the fields. He said, you don't know anything. He said, I understand what you're saying. He said, but I have been homeless in Los Angeles. I've been in prison in California, prison in Louisiana. He said, look how you speak, how you can tell us anything. But guess who stepped in? Pneuma. He stepped in, and he reminded me, he said that we have not a high priest who's not been touched with the feelings of our infirmities or cannot sympathize with us, but in all ways, he's been tempted, tested, and tried, yet he didn't sin. See, I said, sir, I said, but I'm pointing to the one who understands. I'm pointing to the one who's been there. See, I said, sir, you know, Jesus, he's been homeless. He said, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but I have, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus has experienced grief when his cousin John was beheaded and died. The Bible said Jesus went to a solitary place. You think he went there to party? He went there to weep. The scripture says that Jesus was tempted in all ways, sir, but yet he didn't sin. Jesus experienced loneliness when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane on the way to go to the cross for you and I. Jesus said he asked Peter, James, and John to pray with me. You know what they did? They fell asleep. He felt lonely in that garden. Jesus experienced tiredness. I love it that the Bible said Jesus was tired from a long trip, and then he sat down at Jacob's well, but he still had time to just minister to the Samaritan woman. He ministered to the Samaritan woman, told her all that she had done, and you know, she became a forerunner. She went back to Samaritan, and she told him she met a man, and she met a man. They came running back to see who this man was, and the whole city gave their life to Christ. Be a forerunner. You may not know or be anything thing that everyone's been, but you can point them to the one that was. I said, sir, Jesus was betrayed by Judas, rejected by Peter, beaten by Pilate's guard, arrested by the chief priest. That young boy threw that cigarette down, took my hand, and gave his life to Jesus Christ. And then his cousin came by in the car, and he said, Ray Ray, you got some weed? You got some cigarettes? I let Ray Ray step back. I looked in the car. I said, young man, Ray Ray don't have any of those. Ray Ray has just given his life to Jesus. And I said, sweeter the reason why you want the weed and you want the cigarette, because there's a hole on the inside. But see, Jesus Christ, he's filling up his holes. He's filling up his holes. See, I may not have had weed or cigarette, but I know someone who can take it away from you and fill you up. Woo, my Jesus. So that's why I want us to be the forerunners to do three things, just three today, but you'll find a lot more in the Word. I want us to be the forerunners to point the way. Be the salt of the earth. Be the salt of the world. The Bible says, so people can understand and see what Jesus tastes like. Jesus says, clearly he said, it's he himself saying, he says, we are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its savor, where is it going to be salted? Be the light of the world. The Bible says, so people can see what Jesus looked like. The Bible says, let your light so shine so others can see your good works and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Let your light shine. That's why the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church, he said, we are the fragrance of Christ amongst those who are being saved and amongst those who are perishing. We are the fragrance of Christ. Let the aroma of the beauty of Christ, his mercy, his kindness, his goodness, his grace, let it be the aroma that people can smell. And they say, I don't want a cigarette. I don't want weed. I want Jesus. So let's point the way. Let's point the way. And we can do that by being empowered by God's love, by agapao. We can do that by being empowered. You say, I don't have the strength. Well, number one, you got the Holy Spirit who will aid you, who will help you, who will counsel you. You have the Holy Spirit, and you can be empowered by God's love. I love how John wrote in 1 John 4:11, I think. He said, beloved, he said, ought we to love one another as God has so loved us? Are we to do that? I am nothing. I'm pitiful. It's only because of Christ. So love one another. So being that word agapao means to have a preference for, long for, have a preference for your family to really know the soon coming King. Be unwilling to abandon your friends and your neighbors. The scripture says, love your neighbors as yourself. Welcome with desire and prize above all other things your colleagues and your business associates to know Jesus. Let your light shine in the workplace. See, this LED light, it's not talking, it's just shining. That's what I love about LEDs. There's one current flow from LEDs, one from heaven and one from earth for us. But that's the design of LED. A stand above have all these different flickers and they have to go and they still don't shine that much. So be an LED in the workplace. Let your light so shine so men can see your good work and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Take pleasure in seeing your enemies, seeing Jesus. That's why I love that our role model, Jesus says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. So John himself, I love it that the scriptures constantly write about how we should love. Let love be what you're moving for. I want to run my race. I want to be a forerunner because I'm going to love them. I want to love that young man. Even the older man, he said, I understand what you're saying, but how could you? We still loved him. My husband, I went and got my husband. He helped to help the minister to the old one while I took care of the young kid. See, I want us to do several things. I want us to proclaim the way, model the way, aid the way, point the way, that others may come to know what? The way. Jesus Christ is the way. Declare to send it. The way. Not a way, the way. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man coming unto the Father except through him. So we need you and me as forerunners. We've seen something. Like I told you, we've seen something. We know something. We know his love. We know his mercy. We know his grace. So we want to go back and pave the way so others can run the path to come to know that which we know. See, the Heavenly Father has already put in place what I call the the heavenly early warning system. It's been in operation a long time. In every continent, in every country, in every state, in every city, in every town. We are that warning system, you and I. We are the warning system. So wherever you're from, wherever you're going, you're the warning systems. So don't allow the trials of life, don't allow the tests and pressures of life to blow you away, to blow you off the race, run your race. See, we're God's early warning system to alert people of the goodness of God, to alert people of the soon coming King, to alert people of God's grace, God's mercy. We have the Holy Spirit to help us, and we have Jesus who's modeled for us. See, so I'm asking you another question. Is your earthly warning system, is it operative? Or do you need some batteries in it to maybe recharge you for the day? Is our earthly warning system, is it loud enough? Do they hear us? Or are we a standard bulb or we're LED? Which one are you? Which one am I? See, one of the things I love about this picture is actually Taipei, Taiwan's one-on-one is skyscraper. It's 1,667 feet tall. Even though this skyscraper was about 80 miles away from the epicenter of Hualien, Taiwan, it still got some of the buildings around in the city. They still begin to shake. But this one wasn't moved at all. Do you know why it wasn't moved at all? Because in this building is a 660 metric ton pendulum in the center. It helps to absorb the shocks. As the building moves in one direction, the steel spill damper, it begins to cause it to sway in the other direction. See, this damper is a device that reduces the vibration. So I'm asking you today, allow the word of God to grow on the inside of you and me so that it can damper, it can restrain. So when the world's pressures are trying to lean you toward the world, you have the word of God that's pulling you, that's dampering those things, removing you back to God. So don't allow the pressures. I'm asking you to increase the volume of God's word in your life so you can have this spear, so you can have this ball on the inside, which is God's word. So when the flames of life, when the pressures of life, when the tornadoes of life, when the storms of life want to blow you away, God's word pulls you back to the inside. God's word pulls you back to the right side. God's word pulls you so you don't blow away. You don't fall away. You become still molded in God. You'll be like that building. You'll be tall and strong in the name of Jesus. So I'm asking you today, church, be a forerunner. Be a forerunner so people can see who the soon coming King is. Be a forerunner. Be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, so the world can see Jesus. It was a reason John howled. It was a reason John said, you brought a vipers, because they didn't want Jesus. Sometimes people don't want Jesus. They'll keep you from wanting. But I tell you, Jesus is the best thing that will ever happen to you. I can guarantee you that. So allow God's word to be grow on the inside of us, so that pendulum, that when life's stresses, because the Bible says in this life you will have tribulation, trials, it will cause you to stand because it's absorbing that and displacing that in Jesus' name. God bless you, church.
Thanks for listening. For more info about how to get and stay connected to Mosaic Church, please visit us online at www.mosaicchurchaustin.com. Or download our app from your app store.